We continue Bezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Memhe. However, we'll begin on the last two lines of Mem Daled Amud Bet, Tani Shela. This limud is Leilui Nishmat, Baruch ben Shelomo, Shelomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Hanan, Naim ben Chatun, Yair ben Tova, Sulika bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisia, את הרבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום, אוסו לרפואה שלמה פור אסתר בת שרה, גבריאלה מסודה בת שרה, אלישבע בת נטע, אנחנה בת סוליקה. We continue in the sugya of the halakha of מוציא שם רע and of a נערה מאורסה who was מזנה, who committed adultery. So תני שאלה, Shela taught over a braita as follows. Shalosh midot bana'ara. There are three different circumstances, three different cases with regards to a na'ara in the halakha of Motzi Shemra. Number one, ba'u la'edim bevet chamiha, shezinta bevet aviha. If edim came to testify while she was bevet chamiha in her father-in-law's house, Chazal's way of saying after she was fully married, sometimes, is to say bevet chamiha. Once she's in her father-in-law's house, that means she's married. So if after marriage, after nisuim, edim come and say shezinta bevet aviha, that she committed adultery when she was still in her father's house, that means after kiddushin, between kiddushin and nisuim, when she was only betrothed. So that's termed sometimes as bevet aviha. So once again, the case number one is, if Edim came after Nisuim and testified that she committed adultery between Erusin and Nisuim, which means while she was a Na'ara Me'orasa, so klimotah al petach betavia. The punishment of Skila takes place by the entrance to her father's house, klomar, and this is as if to say, re'u gidulim shegidaltem. See what you have brought up. That's why it's al petach betavia. Case number two, Baula edim bevet aviha, shezinta bevet aviha. If witnesses came to testify about her when she was still in her father's house, which means when she was still me'orasa, and testified that she committed adultery as a me'oreset after erusin. So then, sokrim ota al petach sha'ar ha'ir. The punishment takes place by the gate, by the entrance of the gate of the city. Sarha, ולבסוף בגרה תידון בחנק. Sarcha means if she went astray, which means she sinned when she was a young woman. However, subsequently she reached bagrut, which means she became already a grown woman. So then tidon bechenek, the punishment is not skila, the punishment is chenek, strangulation. That's the difference between na'ara me'orasa and bogeret. Na'ara me'orasa is biskila, bogeret is bechenek. So those are the three cases that Shela mentioned here in this braita. So the Gemara asks on this braita now, lememra de kolhecha di ishtani gufa ishtani ktala? Are we to say from this braita that in any case where her body has changed after the sin, which means she changed from a na'ara to a bogeret, so the punishment, the death sentence is also, changes as well? It's not skila, it goes to chenek, is that the case? Ureminhi, but we have a braita that seems to contradict this. It says in the braita, na'ara ha-me'orasa shezinta, if a na'ara me'orasa, while she was a na'ara, committed adultery, umi shebagra, and then she reached the age of bagrut, hotzi alei ha-shemra, after she reached the age of bagrut, after 12 and a half, the husband defamed her, accusing her of committing adultery during the time of Erusin, and it was found out to be that he's Motzi Shemra. Enoloke, he does not get the regular punishment of Malkut that is given by Motzi Shemra on a Na'ara, Me'orasa, the Enonoten Me'asela, and also the money, the penalty of payment is not applicable either. But he vezomemeha makdimim leveta skila, and she and the zomemim, the conspiring witnesses who accused her falsely, receive skila. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, "Hi v'zomemeha salkatatach." Can you say a case where both she and the conspiring witnesses? I mean, if they were conspiring, then why should she get punished? Right? How could it be he vizomimea? Ela, rather, what the Braita means is ohi ozomimea, whether if it's true, then she gets punished. Ozomimea, if she was accused falsely, then the edim zomimim get punished. But the point is, makdimim lebeta skila, the punishment is skila. So we see that even though it happened, the hotza'at shemra happened after she became a bogeret, she sinned while she was na'ara. The hotza'at shemra, meaning she sinned allegedly, sorry. The alleged sin was when she was a na'ara. And then the accusation, the hotza'at shemra, was after she was a bogeret. So now, if it was true, so then she receives skila, it says over here. So what's going on? I thought ishtane gufa, we have from the Braita before, that if she became a bogeret, salcha ulevasuf bagra, it's chenek. So the Gemara answers, Amarava, Rava says, Motzi Shemra ka'amar. You're asking from a Braita by the case of Motzi Shemra? Shani Motzi Shemra de Chidushu. The whole case of Motzi Shemra with its punishment is a Chidush, is a novelty of the Torah. This is something that is a novel halakha. And therefore certain aspects, because certain aspects of this case do not apply to other halachot. Right? And how do we know Motzi Shemra is a Chidush? In a case where if one entered the chupa, but she wasn't nivala, she didn't consummate the marriage yet, vezinta, and she was already mezane, the punishment is bechenek. Ve'ilu motzi shemra is beskila. So we see that motzi shemra is a chidush. So therefore, you can't ask from Motzi Shemra. Yeah, but Motzi Shemra, she gets skila even after she's a bugeret. We don't say the rule of Ishtane Gufa, Ishtane Ktala, that once her body changes, the punishment changes also. No, by Motzi Shemra, it stays the same punishment as skila. Whereas the Braita of Shela, that was saying before, Salcha Ulevasov Bagra, it's not talking about a case of Motzi Shemra. It's talking about a clear case of Edim that come on their own to testify that she committed adultery, and then she became a bogeret. So then we say that the punishment is chenek and not skila. But the Braita is not a contradiction, because the Braita is talking about Motzi Shemra, which is a chidush. However, the Gemara asks, Amar li Rav Huna bered Rav Yeshua le Rava. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, asked Rava on this answer that he just gave, Dilma ki hadit rahamana hecha delo ishtane gufa. Hadit is chidesh. Maybe when the Torah was mechadesh, the din of Motzi Shemra, that's only when lo ishtane gufa. Maybe the chidush of the Torah of Motzi Shemra is only when the body did not change, when she's still a na'ara. But if her body changed, then the din would be chenek. Then it would not be skila. Aval hechad ishtane gufa, lo chadit rachamana. But when her body changed, when she became a bogeret, then the Torah was not mechadesh. So how do you know to say that the Braita is talking about Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra is a chidush. Even if ishtane gufa, we say that she gets skila. Who said? Maybe this chidush of the Torah of Motzi Shemra is only when not ishtane gufa, not otherwise. Therefore, we're back to the question from the Braita. Ela amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak ishtane vela ishtane tana ahi. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, rather, the way to understand this is that regarding the halacha of if her body changed or did not, if it matters regarding changing the death penalty, is actually a machloket tana'im. And therefore, it's not a stira. In other words, the stira that you asked from the braita of Na'ara Me'orasa Shezintar Mishabagra on the braita of Tani Shela is actually resolved because it's a machloket tana'im as follows. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Horayot. And that Mishnah is regarding the special korban of the Kohen Gadol, or the Melech, or the king, who sinned Beshogeg. So it states there as follows. Chat'u achelon itmanu. If let's say the Kohen Gadol or the Melech, they sinned before they were appointed as a Kohen Gadol or as a king. Venitmanu. And subsequently they were appointed before they were even aware of their sin that they did Beshogeg. They only became aware of it after their appointment. So again, the time of their committing the sin Beshogeg was before they were appointed, before Nitmanu. But they became aware of it after Nitmanu. Harehen kehed yodot. They are like commoners, which means they bring the regular korban chatat, like any ordinary individual who sinned b'shogeg, rather than bringing the par kohen gadol, the special korban that the kohen gadol brings or that the king brings when he sins b'shogeg. That's according to Tanakama in the Mishnah there. Rabbi Shimon says, "Im noda lahem ad shelo nitmanu chayavim." If the sin became known to them before they were appointed, if not only did they sin before they were appointed, but they also became aware of it, so then chayavim, which means they have to bring the regular korban of hedyotot, the regular korban chatat. Mishenitmanu peturim. However, if they only became aware of it after they were appointed, so then, even though the actual sin was before they were appointed, then they are totally exempt. They are pturim from bringing the regular korban chatat, because their change in status from a commoner to a kohen gadol or to a melech necessitates now a new kind of korban. And therefore, their first obligation of the korban chatat was entirely nullified now. So now, what do we see here from this machloket tanaim in the Mishnah? It shows, according to Rabbi Shimon, that a change in status, nitmanu, retroactively affects the liability, the chiyuv, of the korban regarding a avera that he did in his previous status, right? And according to Rabbi Shimon, it does affect. The fact that nitmanu and only then became aware makes them peturim from the regular korban. Whereas, according to Tanakama, we saw, no, even if they became aware after Nitmanu, they're still harehen ked yotot, they still have to bring the korban like everyone else. Their status does not change. So we could apply this machloket to our case over here, of the Na'ara Me'orasa who committed adultery when she was Me'orasa, and then she became a bogeret before her sin became known. So we say that there is a machloket if there is a change in the status regarding the death penalty as well. So according to one braita, she still receives only the skila, like any other na'ara me'orasa. According to the braita of Tani Shela, she receives now the punishment is chenek, because her status changed. So we can say that one braita is going like Tanakama, one braita is going like Rabbi Shimon. However, the Gemara questions this comparison. Emor de Shamina lele Rabbi Shimon. What did we hear from Rabbi Shimon in this Mishnah regarding the Kohen Gadol? We hear only de azil af batar yedia, that he goes also according to the time of the awareness of when he became aware of the sin, which means the actual time of the sin was before he became appointed to Kohen Gadol, so that obligates a regular Korban Chatat. And the time of knowledge of the sin was after he was appointed, so that obligates the special Korban of the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon said he's patur, because you have here two things that you go by. You have when the actual sin happened, that happened before he was appointed, and the time of the awareness of the Yediyah, that was after. So one cancels out the other. One chiyuv cancels out the other. Therefore, he's patur from the korban. But you see that he's going according to both. He goes according to the time, the moment of the sin, and the moment of the awareness. And therefore, each one cancels out each other. But the azil batar yedia, velo azil batar cheta, mishamatle. But did you hear from Rabbi Shimon that he only goes according to the time of awareness and not according to the time of the sin? Did you hear this from him? That you didn't hear from Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, by Na'ara Me'orasa, now, she sinned when she was Me'orasa. What obligation does that bring? Skila. The awareness was only after she became Bogeret. What obligation does that bring? That brings Chenek. So now, if you're saying she gets punished by Chenek, like the Braita of Shela, and you're saying Rabbi Shimon is the author of that Braita, then why is it that she gets Chenek? I mean, that means you're only going according to the time of the awareness of the sin, and not according to the time of the actual sin. That we didn't hear. We didn't hear that from from Rabbi Shimon. If you're saying that Rabbi Shimon only goes according to the time of the awareness of the sin, then by Kohen Gadol also, im ken laite korban ki dehashta, then he should bring a korban like the moment of the awareness. And when is that? Mashuach par venasi sa'ir. That if he's a Kohen Mashuach, an anointed Kohen, he should bring a par, a bull, venasi, and if we were talking about a nasi, he should bring a sa'ir, should bring a goat. But we don't see that. We see Rabbi Shimon saying that he's patur, which means that Rabbi Shimon, the reason why he says patur is because he doesn't go only after the time of the awareness of the sin. He goes according to what? According to both the time of the sin and the awareness of the sin. And therefore each one cancels out. So now we're back with the question, who is the Tana of Shela that says that Mishe Bagra, she receives boger, she receives a chenik. That means if she receives chenek, that means you're saying we only go according to the time of the awareness of the sin, of yediya. Don't say that that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon goes by both. So we're back to the question. Rather, answers the Gemara, ha'amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Tana. But we know Rabbi Yochanan, when he heard the Tana say over the Braita of Shela, the Braita that said that Mishe Bagra, she receives chenek, Rabbi Yochanan told the Tana to correct him. Tenei tidon biskila. You shall state that the punishment is skila, which means Rabbi Yochanan corrected, he amended that braita, not chenek, rather skila, and that's in accordance with the second braita that we brought regarding Motzi Shemra, that when the Nara Meorasa became a Bogeret, the punishment stays as Skila, and therefore there's no contradiction between the Braita'ot. The Gemara asks, Ve'amai, but why should she receive Skila after she became a Bogeret? It states in the Pasuk, Na'ara HaMeorasa Amarachamana. Hashem says in the Pasuk regarding Skila, Na'ara HaMeorasa VeHaBogereti, but now she's a Bogeret, so how could this be? Amar Rabbi Il'a answers, Amar Kra Hana'ara. The Pasuk says an extra he. It says, Vehotziu et Hana'ara el petach betavia uskalua. The Pasuk could have just said, Vehotziuha el petach betavia. We know it's talking about the Na'ara, the whole parasha there. It's talking about her. Why did it say the extra Vehotziu et Hana'ara? Hana'ara shehayeta gvar. It's coming to include, it indicates for us, it's referring to even the one who was a na'ara, which means when she sinned, she was a na'ara, but now standing judgment, she is already a bogeret. The punishment is still skila. So we learn it from the extra word, hana'ara. Amar li Rabbi Chananya li Rabbi Il'a. So Rabbi Chananya asks Rabbi Il'a, ihachi, if that's the case, that even if she became a bogeret, she's still included in the halakha of na'ara. So by Motzi Shemra, by the case where he accused her falsely, and then she became a bogeret, milkana mililki. Why does it say in the Braita, he doesn't get malkut, and he doesn't pay the fine of 100 selah. Milkana mililki, he should get the malkut, which is written there in the parasha, ume'a selah nami lishalem, and he should pay the fine as well. Since you are learning from the extra word, hana'ara, to include the one who became a bogeret. Amar le, Rabbi Il'a told Rabbi Chananya, Rachamana nitzlan mehaidata. Hashem should save us from your opinion. So Rabbi Chananya said to him, Adraba, Rachamana nitzlan midata didach. On the contrary, Hashem should save us from your opinion. Wow, okay. So what's going on here? This is a vehement machloket. So the Gemara wants to understand v'tamamai, and what is really the reasoning to differentiate between the punishment of skila that you still give even though she became bogeret, but when it comes to the fine of the me'asela and the malkut, then that the Braita said does not stay when she becomes bogeret. Why? I mean, after all, Rabbi Chananya has a good question here that he asks Rabbi Il'a. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin ve'item Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avin said, some say it in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, Zo ma'aseha garmula. The Na'ara Me'orasa that committed adultery and she became a bogeret. So her actions caused her the punishment of the skila, and therefore she receives skila. Veze, by the case of Motzi Shemra, when she's a bogeret, Akimat Sfatav garmulo. It is his words. literally his twisting of his lips, that causes him his punishment. And therefore, that's what makes the difference. The Gemara explains, Zuma se'a garmula, by her, when it is true that she committed adultery, so it's her act that makes her liable for the punishment. So keshehi zanai, na'ara zanai. When did she do the act? When she was a na'ara. And therefore, an act of adultery during when she is a na'ara, she receives skila, even though now she became a bogeret. But it goes according to the time of the act. V'zeh akimat tzfatav gamulo. By the case of motzi shemra, it's the act of his speaking falsely that causes him the punishment. So emat kamichyav. When is it that he did that? When did he become liable? Hahishata. At that time that he spoke. V'hahishata bogeret avai. At that time that he spoke, she was already a bogeret. Upon a bogeret, it does not say the halacha of the malkut and the me'asela. That's why the difference is stated such in the braita. Now the Gemara brings another braita that explains the location of the skila. That where does it take place? Tanu Rabbanan. Na'ara ha'me'orasa shezinta. Na'ara me'orasa that committed adultery. And after she got married, fully married, the Edim came and testified that she was mezaneh when she was a me'orasa. So klimota al petach betaviha. It takes place by the entrance of the house of her father. En la petach betav, if let's say you don't have such a possibility, her father doesn't own a home. So klimota al petach shar ha'ir ha'hi. Then it is carried out by the entrance of the gate of the city. Ubeir sheruba ovde kochavim. However, in a city whose majority of population is non-Jewish, so then it doesn't take place at the entrance of the city. So klimota al petach bedin. It takes place at the entrance of the bedin. Kayotze b'davar ata omer. Similarly, we say haoved avodat kochavim. Someone who commits the sin of worshipping avodah zarah. So klimoto al shar she'avad bo. The skila takes place by the entrance of the city in which he committed the sin of avodah zarah. Ubeir sherubah ovdei kochavim, so klimoto al petach bet hadin. However, in a city whose most of the population are ovdei avodat kochavim, meaning they are goyim, then the skila takes place at the entrance of bet din. So that's the braita. The Gemara asks, menahanemile, from where do we derive this halacha that the worshipper of Avodah Zarah is niskal, he receives his skila by the entrance of the city, and na'ara me'orasa also, by the entrance of the city. The Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braita. It states in the pasuk regarding the punishment of skila of the oved avodat kochavim. It says there, ve'otzet et ha'ishahu el she'arecha. It says she'arecha, to the gates of your city. Uskaltam ba'avanim ametu. Ze shar she'avad bo. And the braita explains, that's the gates of the city in which he committed avodah zarah. Ata omer shar she'avad bo. O eno el ha'shar she'nidon bo. So the braita asks, okay, you say it means she'arecha, it means the gate to the city where he committed the sin. Maybe it means the gates of the city where he was judged, which means, let's say the Bedin was in a different city. Maybe that's the city that he should be punished. Who said to explain she'arecha means shar she'avad bo, where he committed the sin? Maybe it's where he was nidon bo, where he was judged. So the Braita says, we learn by a gzera shava. Ne'emar she'arecha lemata. Further, it says the word she'arecha by the punishment of skila of the oved avodah zarah. Ve'ne'emar she'arecha lemala. And it says the word she'arecha previously in the beginning of the parasha. It says ki matze bekirbecha be'achad she'arecha ish o isha asher ya'aseh et tara. So ma she'arecha ha'amur lemala. Shar she'avad bo. Just like the word she'arecha that is said in the beginning of the parasha is clearly referring to the gate of the city where the city where the sin was committed, because it says, "Ki matzeh bekirbecha be'achad she'arecha ish o isha asher ya'aseh et tara." Af she'arecha amur lemata shar she'avad bo. So too, the she'arecha, which is written regarding the sentencing regarding the punishment of skila, is shar she'avad bo. That's the first part of the braita. Davar acher, the braita brings another teaching from the word she'arecha. She'arecha velo she'are ovde kochavim. She'arecha, it has to be the gate of your city, which means the population is Jewish. But Lo Sha'arei Ovdei Kochavim, but not the gates of a city whose population is non-Jewish. And that's where we learn that where the majority of the population is Ovdei Kochavim, then the skila does not take place at the entrance, at the gate of the entrance of the city. So the Gemara asks, Hasha'arecha, Hai Sha'arecha, this word Sha'arecha ha'apikte, but you already used this word Sha'arecha to teach us that the skila takes place in the entrance to the city where the sin took place, right? Like we just learned in the beginning of the Braita. How do you learn a second halakha from the same word? The Gemara says that's not a problem. We take the same word and it's dissected. Imkene makrashar, which means if it was only for the first halakha, it should have just say shar ha'ir. Mai sha'arecha, why does it have to say your sha'ar? Shema minatarti, to teach us two things. We learn the gate to the city where the sin was done, and from the extra chaf sofit, the sha'arecha, that excludes any city that belongs to Ovdei Kochavim, rather only in the city where the population is Jewish. So now the Gemara asks, okay, ashkechan avodat kochavim. So this baita teaches us by one who was Oved Avodah Zarah that he receives skila at the gate of the city where he sinned. Na'ara me'orasa menalan. How do we know the same halakha applies to the na'ara me'orasa? Amar Rabbi Abahu says, we learn it, b'gzera shava, petach mi petach, u'petach mi sha'ar, v'sha'ar mi sha'arecha. One of those gzera shava that goes in a sequence. It builds up, and it's there are links to this chain type of Gezerah Shava. We learn first, we start off by learning Petach from Petach. It says the word Petach by Na'ara Me'orasa, as in the Pasuk, El Petach Betavia. And we learn it from a different place where it says Petach, by the Mishkan, it says Ve'et Masach Petach Sha'ar Hechatzer. Okay? Upetach, now the word petach by Mishkan, we learn Misha'ar. We learn from the word char that states there. What did it say? It said, Masach petach sha'ar echatzel. So now we linked the word petach to sha'ar. Ve'sha'ar misha'arecha. And that word sha'ar, we learn from she'arecha that we just learned is stated by the Oved Avodah Zarah. Just like by she'arecha of the Oved Avodah Zarah, it means the city where the sin was took place. So we learn by way of connection to the word sha'ar, to the word petach, all the way to Na'ara Me'orasa, where it says, El Petach Betavia, that the same applies, that the punishment is carried out by Petach Sha'ar Ha'ir where she sinned, by the gate of the entrance of the city where she sinned. Now the Gemara brings a machloket in the din of Motzi Shemra. Tanu Rabbanan, HaMotzi Shemra Loke Venoten Me'asela. The one who accuses his wife falsely, that's Motzi Shemra, he gets Malkut, as it states in the Pasuk, V'lakechu ziknei ha'ir ha'yeta ish v'yiseru oto, that's Malkut, v'noten me'asela, and he has to pay 100 sela, as it says, v'aneshu oto me'achesef. Rabbi Yehuda omer, lilkot loke mikol makom. As for the punishment of Malkut, he gets Malkut regardless, in any case. However, me'asela, the fine of the 100 sela, it depends. Baal noten, if he had be'ila with her, and then he accused her, so then he gives the money. Lo baal eno noten, if he accuses her before he had be'ila with her, before he had relations with her, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, he does not pay that me'asela fine. So regarding the me'asela, if there was no be'ila, we have here a machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara explains, Kamifligi beplukta de Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov v'Rabbanan. These Tanaim, in this Braita here, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, they're arguing in the same machloket that is between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Rabbanan. So, v'hachi kama. This is what the first Tana in our Braita is saying, Tanakama. Hamotzi shemra loke v'noten me'asela ben ba'al ben shelo ba'al. Kerabanan, that Motzi Shemra, he gets Malkut, and he pays the 100 Sela, regardless if he had relations yet or not. That is like the opinion of Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lilkot, Loke Mikol Makom, Me'asela, depends on Baal Noten, Lo Baal Eno Noten, Kerabelezer Ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that, Regarding Malkut, there's no difference. But regarding Me'asela, it depends. If he was Bo'el, then he does give it. If he was not Bo'el yet, he doesn't give. That's in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who holds that the Alechav Motzi Shemra applies only when the Motzi Shemra, the husband, had already relations with his wife. Ika d'amri, some explain, Kula ke Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The entire Braita is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And this is what the Braita is saying. Hamotzi shemra loke venoten me'asela vehu sheba'al. The one who's motzi shemra, he gets malkut and he has to pay 100 selah, but only if he already had relations with her, like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda omer lilkot loke mikol makom. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that regarding the malkut, the punishment of the lashes, that is regardless. It's only regarding the fine of Me'asela that it depends on if they had relations or not. So the Gemara asks, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda lilkot loke mikol makom? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that? That regarding Malkut, it's regardless? V'hatanya Rabbi Yehuda omer, Ba'al loke lo ba'al eno loke. What do you mean? But Rabbi Yehuda, we have a braita that states openly that he says only if he was Ba'ali gets Malkut, but if there were no relations, no Malkut. So we see even regarding Malkut, it depends. So we have here an apparent stira in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Loke makat mardut miderabanan. When Rabbi Yehuda says, Loke mikol makom, he doesn't mean regardless. The punishment of Malkut Midoraita, yes, indeed, only depends, it depends on if Ba'al or Lo Ba'al, like we see here in this Baita. Where in the previous Baita, where we see he says, Loke mikol makom, he means the rabbinic Malkut, the Malkut Midrabanan, which is called Makat Mardut, which means that although in the case where lo ba'al mideoraita, he doesn't receive malkut, but chachamim administer punishment of malkut on him anyway, because he lied, he defamed his wife, he endangered her life by accusing her of a sin that carries the death penalty. So the bedin punish him, even though this punishment does not apply mideoraita, but it's makat madut miderabanan. That's what Rav Yehuda meant when he says lilkot loke mikol makom. Rav Papa amar, Rav Papa says, Mai ba'al loke diktani hatam mamon. Rav Papa has a different answer in Rav Yehuda. Really, according to Rav Yehuda, malkut is regardless, whether ba'al or not ba'al. And the malkut is mideoraita. And the reason for that is because even if lo ba'al, but he deserves malkut because lo telech achil be'amecha, he spoke otzat shem ra against her. He gossiped falsely against her and he accused her. Therefore, he gets malkut. Umay ba'al loke. What does it mean in the Braita when it says, Rav Yehuda says, only if ba'al, then he gets malkut. But if lo ba'al, not loke, diktani hatam, which is written in that second Braita, he explains over there, it means mamon, that money. It's referring to money, that if he was bo'el, then he pays the knas. If he was not bo'el yet, he doesn't pay the knas. Like Rav Elezer ben Yaakov said. But regarding malkut, there is no difference. So asks the Gemara, Vekari lele mamon, malkut? So, one second, you're saying it's referring to mamon. You call mamon, you call money with the term malkut? In? Yes, we do find that the way of the Tana sometimes to call the financial penalty by the term malkut. Vehatenan, as we find in the Mishnah. The truth is, this should be corrected. It should say Vehatanya, as we find in a Braita. It's a Braita, not a Mishnah, in Masechet Arachin, regarding the following halacha. It says, Ha'omer hatsi erki alai, noten hatsi erko. One who says, he makes a neder. Half of my valuation is upon me. Half of my erich is upon me to give. Noten hatsi erko. So Tanakama says, that's what he has to give. He has to give half of his value, in accordance with the amount that is fixed by the Torah in Parashat Parashat Bechukotai. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda omer, loke venoten erech shalem. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says, loke, he receives malkut, and he has to pay, he has to give the full value. Loke amai, why is it that he gets malkut? I mean, why would he get Malkut? There's no punishment of Malkut for saying, this doesn't make sense. How do you get Malkut for saying such a neder? Amar Rav Papa explained, Loke be'erech shalem. When it says Loke, it doesn't mean Malkut as in lashes. It means he gets smacked with the fine of the full value. It's a term. The word Loke here means that he gets fined with this amount that he has to pay, which proves that monetary payment can be referred to as Malkut. And in conclusion, the Gemara just wants to ask on this last halacha that we've mentioned from the Braita there by Arachin, Maitama, what's really the reason of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, who says that one who said Chatzi Erki Alai, he has to pay the whole Erech, but he only said Chatzi Erki. So the Gemara explains, Gezera Hatzi Erko Atu Erech Chetzio. The Chachami made a Gezera on the one who made a neder, Hatzi Erki Alai, half of my Erech is upon me to pay. They made a Gezera that he should pay his entire Erech, Atu Erech Chetzio, because it's similar to the case of a one who says, the value of half of such and such, the half of Ploni is upon me. Someone sees a person and he says, the value of half of him is upon me. Now, what is the halacha in that case? The erech etzio, a person who says erech etzio of Ploni is on me, the halacha is he has to pay the whole erech. Because, havele ever sheaneshama teluyabo. Because half of that person contains the limb upon which his life depends, which means his head, his heart. In which case, it's like he vowed, he made a neder to donate the entire value. What do you mean, half of him? Half of him includes the head and heart. That's whole of him, right? If he doesn't have the head of heart, he has nothing. So in that case, when a person says, Chatzi erko, he has to pay the whole erich. So when a person says on himself, when he says, Chatzi erki alai, I'm sorry, when he says on someone else, erich chetzio, alai, over there he clearly has to pay the entire erech. So when a person says on himself, chatzi erki alai, half of my erech, which only means half of the erech that the Torah said is upon me, although in that case you don't have the same svarah, Chachamim made a gzera, since it's similar to the case of erech etzio, where you have to pay the whole thing, so too by chatzi erki alai, you have to pay the whole thing. That's the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Yehuda, who said, Loke venoten erech shalem. But once again, when he says Loke, Loke just means he is slapped with the fine of erech shalem. So that's what Rav Papa meant when he says, when Rabbi Yehuda says, Baal Loke, it doesn't mean Loke mamash malkut, it means he is slapped with the fine of the me'asela of Motzi Shemra.